much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
From their humble beginnings in the tiny town of Escatawpa, Mississippi, to their global success in rock and roll, please welcome multi-platinum recording artist, Three Doors Down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm intelligent in my own way. I'm people smart. It's really sad that you can't read, you know, other signs of intelligency. Is intelligency a word?
I want to write a syndicated humor column like Dave Barry or Irma.
Mike, do you have any awareness of what's been happening with newspapers in the last 10 years?
Not at all.
I mean, truth is, I don't even get them anymore. I just read the news on my phone.
It's so much better, and it's free.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, when I was young, and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young.
Yes, I'm listening to that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get his wisdom out of here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Now hiring both locations.
Roll another one.
I'm just throwing that out.
Just like the other one.
This is awkward, guys, huh?
This one seems to be about to quit.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine.
Aren't you a tall drink of chocolate milk?
Rap, kids.
Just like the other one.
Asshole. Excuse me.
This one seems to be about to end.
I can't believe it's April already.
I don't have another cent.
I didn't have any feeling about you before, but now I'm starting to really dislike you.
I don't want to like that joint.
Let's all have sex.
Just pass it around.
I love sheep.
To build a wall around here.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
This tells the story of a sloppy, disorganized, irresponsible individual who's not allowed within 500 feet of Taylor Swift. That was a misunderstanding.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 16th of June.
I can hear you, but I can't see you. Where are you guys?
Yeah.
This is a magical place.
Yeah.
You guys there?
Yeah.
We're here.
I can almost tell where your voices are coming from.
Yeah. It's pretty dark in here.
It is real dark. Looks like remodeling. I'm not sure.
Yeah. They were replastering the wall yesterday when we walked in here. And apparently they tripped some wire and now none of the dimmers work. But good thing it was left at the dimmest light possible.
You can almost see.
Yeah.
In here.
And
we can't change it. That's the best part.
So two things. Yep. One is if Ralph is listing on the way in, go ahead and turn back around and get your miner's helmet.
Yes.
And then come back because you're going to need some sort of a flashlight or additional wattage to be able to see your papers this morning. And two is this remodeling they're doing. Are they putting up any signs in Spanish?
No. So far,
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm always keeping my eyes peeled for the musica, musica, musica. They're still just tearing stuff apart.
All right, so they haven't put up the new studio for El Pueblo yet or anything, right?
No.
Okay. All right, well, I'm sure it'll be like this when the show's over.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they can't get through the wall to get at the wiring. They jacked something up.
Who thinks it'll be this dark on Monday?
Oh, me. Oh, all. Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
this place is crazy. I mean, you really do... Once a week, have to rebuild something when we start in the morning. We go, what happened yesterday?
It's insane.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on after the show, but it's an adventure every morning, that's for sure. Hey, remember, I think it was a few weeks ago, maybe a little more, we had a story at this time,
and I don't remember the details, but it had something to do with a controversy about a casino jackpot. Wasn't it somebody had left the money in and then somebody else had hit the button? Remember? And it
yes.
was a dispute as to who got the jackpot, the person who paid for it or the person who hit the jackpot.
Yes. Right.
Well, here's another casino story, and I'm curious to see what you guys think about this. This one came out of the Resorts World Casino in Queens, New York. A woman named Katrina Bookman. She was playing the Sphinx slot machine there, a penny slot machine, by the way, and hit a jackpot. And there's a
jackpot's like $7.19 for a penny slot, right?
Close. She took a selfie of it because she realized at the time her life would change forever because the jackpot that she won was for $43 million.
What? On penny slots?
$43 million, the largest jackpot ever won on a slot machine in United States history.
Must be one of those progressive ones that keeps building. That's crazy.
Or a huge mistake.
Yeah. Or a huge mistake, as the casino explained, when she went to collect her prize and the casino worker told her she hadn't actually won anything, but did offer her a complimentary steak dinner and $2.25.
Now what?
I don't
How
know
did
where
she not win anything.
But where did 225 come
exactly.
from?
Exactly. Where did 225? It'd be great if this article from CNN would tell me. But why 225? Is that how much she put in before she hit the jackpot?
Yeah, maybe she told them how long she was sitting there, and they just sort of extrapolate. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, wisely, she did not accept that offer because she knew that she could sue, and she did, and it is in dispute right now. But a spokesperson for the casino said that casino personnel were able to determine that the figure displayed on the penny slot was the result of an obvious malfunction. And that fact was later confirmed by the New York State Gaming Association. And, of course, the policy at casinos is if there's a malfunction, you don't get paid, right? The lady's attorney, Alan Ripka, says that she's been fighting for months to get the casino to pony up more cash, but to no avail. You can't claim a machine is broken because you want it to be broken. Does that mean it wasn't inspected? Does that mean it wasn't maintained? And if so, does that mean that people that played there before my client had zero chance of winning? I think all pretty legitimate questions.
Agreed.
Yeah. By the way, it's awfully convenient to just say, oh, it's broken. You know
that
what
must
I mean?
Be a mistake. We don't want to pay out $43 million.
Yeah.
Right. Her attorney has said that he has asked Resorts World Casino to explain how the machine malfunctioned, but the company has not offered anything. This isn't in court yet, by the way, but it certainly will be. Again, a very reasonable explanation. If you're going to say it's malfunctioned, tell me more on that.
Mm-hmm.
The complaint alleges that Resorts World Casino was negligent and did not adequately maintain their equipment. And tell me what you guys think about this. It's also positioning that his client suffered mental anguish as a result of the incident, and she sustained a significant monetary setback because she lost the chance and or opportunity to win on the machine. Now, that's two different things.
But she got $2.25.
And steak.
And a steak dinner.
A steak, so she should be fine.
What about that? What
okay,
about
she had no mental anguish. Let's just stop that madness.
But
you thought
you
won, then you didn't. It's over.
But if you think you win and then you don't, that's not – and it's $43 million and it really does change your life and the life of your family and the life of your grandchildren at so much money. Doesn't that screw with the rest of your life that almost happened and then didn't?
Absolutely not.
I feel like
it does.
You felt
great for a minute, then you were sad. It's
life. For
the rest
of your life, you're sad.
No, not for the rest of your life. Give me a break. Suck it up. She deserves something, but come on. Mental anguish? Cut it out.
What do you think, Monkey?
I feel like she's probably going to sustain more mental anguish than Allie does. I do. I think she, having won $43 million.
And believing even for just an hour.
Okay,
a month later, she's still looking back at that going, I won that money.
Yeah, right. And then you move on.
Right.
The time she thought she won to when she walked over and they said she didn't, four minutes.
I can see that.
She wasn't buying new things. She wasn't writing checks. Come on.
Maybe she had already bought a house and
what
a car.
What if she did? Okay, I didn't think about that.
That'd be cool.
Maybe she made a phone call for all those purchases before she cashed
Possible.
Out. I feel like there's mental anguish. I really do. I don't know what the dollar amount is you put on that mental anguish, but I do feel like that is that's significantly screwing with your brain.
I'm not going significantly, though. I'm closer to Allie than I am to Bean.
Listen, I dated a guy in college. I broke up with him. He went to the MLB. He now makes millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Is that mental anguish because, I had it and then I didn't want it anymore? No.
No, because that was your choice.
It was your choice, it was a different time. It wasn't him making it while you were dating him either, right? He went on to go into the MLB.
All right, right. Not a great. Okay.
She had won the $43 yeah. million is what, I mean, I think there's some there, but I can't imagine how much.
Well, I'm curious to hear.
That's just my humble brag. He's in the MLB now.
Right.
I broke up
and I'll
with
keep
him.
My, look, a lot of people love Tommy Lasorda. I'll keep my eyes peeled and we'll see if this goes to trial and what the lady ends up getting. But I think it's a fascinating story.
That was good, Bean.
Wouldn't that be great if it was Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was 85 when Allie did.
Right?
But he looks great.
Oh.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
No matter what anyone tells you, try your hardest and try not to kill no one.
I mean, I think we can try to not kill someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. On today's program, we have Keep It 100, our new feature, where you can text in requests. That's coming up. We have the LA Galaxy tickets. There's a K-Rock section for the LA Galaxy versus the Houston Dynamo at StubHub, and it is tomorrow night. And you can buy tickets by going to galaxy.com/K-Rock. And there's an autograph session afterward for us as well.
Wow.
So we're giving away some tickets.
With whom, by the way? Do we know? Player to be named later?
Technically, no.
Okay.
Technically, we don't know yet. Comedian Jim Gaffigan on the program today. Brand new internet roundup on the show. Carl Cox is a EDM pioneer. We're going to talk to him about a movie called What We Started. It all sort of began with him. He's going to join us, and we've got the movie beat because it is Friday morning. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat next. LA NOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
Dying to hear about last night, man.
It was remarkable.
The pictures were something. 10,000 people in downtown LA?
They're estimating 10,000 to 12,000 people showed up outside City Hall for the event last night. It was beyond anyone's expectations. No one thought it was going to be that size. And it was remarkable early on. And then we all just started looking at each other as just people just kept on coming. All of Spring Street was filled. And then Grant Park, from the beginning all the way back to the far steps of Grant Park, packed, packed, packed with people.
Wow, that's great.
As far as you could see on either side, it was, I've never seen anything like it. Never been
and
part
so
of it.
So many people
like
wearing Batman t-shirts and dressing up.
Everybody
and
came with signs and t-shirts and costumes, and it was a huge outpouring of love for Adam West. It was, it felt like a moment out of a movie. It was like, it was really remarkable. And just kudos to everybody down there, the mayor's office, and putting it together in just a couple of days. It was crazy how well organized it was and how
it looked beautiful.
It was really special. It was really something else. I'll tell you, there's no good spin on losing someone you care about, but it was tremendously sort of uplifting. It was a remarkable send off. It was really cool.
One of your social media followers, I saw that you retweeted, Ralph, said something like, "There's a little less joy in the world with Adam gone, but there's a lot of love still." You know,
very
which I
much
thought
so.
Was an interesting way to put it. Now, who all spoke besides you?
It was Mayor Garcetti and Chief Charlie Beck, the police chief.
Nice.
And Burt Ward.
Oh wow!
And myself.
Wow!
So,
the four good
of
company
us.
There.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Was that a tough speech to give?
No, not really. Because of it was much tougher, like when I did the eulogy on Hollywood Babylon, or even when I talked about here on Monday. But that was much tougher because it was such an energetic, uplifting moment that it didn't feel necessarily like a sad thing. It was much more of a positive thing. It was much more of a celebration sort of a life and a career than it was a memorial service. So
that's fantastic.
The energy out there was just incredible. So it was easy to do.
I'm so glad you
plus
got
they
to
said
part of that.
Keep it under 2 minutes. So that made it easier too. Because I felt like saying, okay, I'm not going to get long winded here. I'm just going to say thank you.
Keep it under 2 minutes.
It was basically my chance to. The family had asked me if I would thank everyone who showed up. So really, that was the point of what I was trying to do. But it was, like I said, it was remarkable. And then when they hit that bat signal and it lit up on the tower. I don't know if you've seen the photos or not.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
It was
amazing.
It was like one of those moments you get chills because like how it's a beautiful image. Yeah. And for all the people out there and the roar that went up, it was really special. It was really a very unique event last night. And tons of our listeners were there. Trust me.
Oh, that's great.
I said hi to a bunch of them. We took a bunch of pictures and it was really nice. And so thanks to everyone. listening. Who, if you were there, it was tremendous, tremendous. Thanks so much.
We have a great really stuff. Active group of listeners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really active. So when Ralph talks about something like that, a lot of people not only think, hey, I'd like to go down there, they go down there.
Yeah, but you could tell the people there were, I mean, may have heard about it from me, but didn't go because of me.
They went
because they loved Adam, too. And I said in my short little presentation, like that, it, and I did some interviews afterwards with people, and they said, were you surprised by this? And I said, yeah, sure, you don't expect with 2 days' notice that 10,000 people are going to show up anywhere. But at the same time, I said, my whole life I've known these people have been out there, you know? It was never the fans who turned their back on the guy. You know? Sometimes it was Hollywood or critics or, you know, comic book fans or whatever. But his group of fans, the people who loved what he did his whole career, were always there. So they just had a chance to show up, you know? It's really cool.
Sounds like it.
It was. Good stuff. So thanks to everyone who was there last night. It was very special. All right. I am already out of time.
That was worth it.
We'll do more showbiz news.
But that was a legitimate showbiz story that needed to be covered.
It absolutely was. You know how I know? Because George Pinocchio was there last night.
In his vest?
Hanging out with George in his vest. Love that guy. Love George Pinocchio. I'm not afraid to say it. I see him in so many things, and he's always so great. And he's a big fan of the show, and he comes up, and we talk, and I said, George, I know this is real showbiz news because you're here doing a live shot. And so it was good.
He does seem like the nicest guy
in the
world.
He is. Yeah. He absolutely is.
And his wife makes
his
the best.
His wife makes
for
all
right?
his best, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Banks is 29 years old today. Oh, Banks. Right?
She's a good deal.
She's got a feud going with Savings and Loan, I've heard.
Nope.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to throw down.
File.
Missy Peregrine, 35 years old today. Comedian Adam Ray. Also 35. Actress Abby Elliott is 30 years old. And John Cho celebrates his 45th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Today's Friday, right?
What? Yeah.
Today's Friday, right?
Today is, yeah.
Because yesterday all day I was convinced it was Friday. Today is, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
Since it is Friday, let's go ahead and do the movie beat. What do you think?
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Guys, you're still a well-oiled machine.
Right?
Even on a Friday. Let's take a look at some of the movies opening up this weekend in your local cinemas. Let's kick things off with All Eyes on Me. Right?
Yes.
Tupac. This is the true, untold story of rapper, actor, poet, activist, Tupac Shakur. Demetrius Shipp Jr. stars. Director is Benny Boom. Cat Graham also in this film. You know the story. Does not have a happy ending. But a life that was fascinating on so many levels. Here's some clips from the trailer.
This is a brilliant opportunity to bring together the revolutionaries and the gang communities. And you can unite them.
What's up, New York? I think I see Biggie Smalls in the house.
We got a big platform, man. Use that platform to make change. I'm reporting from the streets. I'm educating and keeping it real.
The man I knew wanted to use his voice to educate, to bring people together.
Jada, if you're coming at me, he gon' get dealt with.
Look, it's a fascinating story.
Yes.
Amazing life and this actor. I mean, no one's ever looked more like the person he portrays in the film.
Yeah.
Are we hearing good things about it? What do we know?
Not hearing good things.
Okay.
Critical response has been tepid.
All in. That's disappointing.
Kevin's all in. Because, you know, thug life and stuff.
Sure.
For him.
Can't keep him off the streets, right?
The Book of Henry. Naomi Watts. Jacob Tremblay. Sarah Silverman also stars in this. This is a movie that looks devastating to me. And yet fascinating. It's about a single mother who discovers her son has devised a plan to rescue a young girl from the hands of her abusive stepfather, and she discovers that he's written it all down in this book, hence the Book of Henry. And it looks, like I said, emotionally difficult, but ultimately satisfying as Naomi Watts plays a mother who tries to act out her son's wishes and make this plan come true and save this young girl. It's called the Book of Henry. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Mr. Sickleman is the police commissioner. I'm not going to subject him to public scrutiny without conclusive evidence.
Okay, let's do this.
Mom, everything you need is right here. I'll be with you the whole time.
I know what you've done, and we documented all of it.
Who do you think they're going to believe?
We have to make it better.
That Naomi Watts is a good actress, man.
Yeah, she is. She sure is.
So good.
In everything.
She's currently right now on Twin Peaks. She's great. It's Dougie's wife.
A couple episodes behind.
Are you really?
Shocking. Hope she murders Dougie.
Come on! That's not Dougie. That's Dale Cooper.
I know. But
don't get me started. 47 meters down. Okay? First of all, this is America. Okay? We don't use meters. So suck it, movie. We use yards. It's goddamn America.
I feel like
take your
be...
foreign measurements and tell your story walking.
More people around the world who use meters than yards, so maybe this is a good business secret.
Where's this movie coming out? Is it coming out in damn Europe land?
Yes. Yeah. It's coming out everywhere.
Oh. Yeah, Ralph.
Oh, okay.
It is set in Mexico, though.
Ah, see?
So.
They love them some meters down there. In Spanish, they're known as meters. 47 meters down. Mandy Moore, Claire Holt play the two hottest sisters you've ever seen in your life vacationing in Mexico. And they say, oh, let's get in a shark cage and look at the sharks. Wouldn't that be awesome?
What could go wrong?
Our Instagram. And then, sure enough, like it happens constantly, the shark cage snaps loose from the boat and just plummets to the ocean floor. And there they are with less than an hour of oxygen and sharks, great white sharks circling the cage. What do? Do you suffocate or do you make a break for it and swim past sharks that want to eat you? Not good options.
Yeah, both options suck.
Here's some clips from the trailer, 47 meters down.
Remember, the faster you breathe, the faster you use up your air. Trust me, once you're down there, you're not going to want to come back up.
It kind of takes your breath away. We would like to come back up now.
I'm bringing you back up.
How deep are we?
47 meters.
Stay in the cage.
We have no air. We have to go now. There are sharks everywhere.
You are all going to die tonight.
I hope they decide to take off their bathing suits and use that to distract the sharks.
I don't think that happens.
I think that would be the first thing to do. Take off your bikinis and go, oh, look over here, shark, and use it sort of like a flag with a bull. You know,
like a bullfighter?
Use the flags to distract
Do sharks. Talk. He's trying to save lives.
Thank
here.
You, Bean.
Do sharks go for that?
Yes. Oh, they're known for their... They get all confused by moving fabric.
Okay.
Science. So I'm just hoping they do that in this film.
Ralph, you've got to start writing movies for Mandy Moore.
Thank you. Also opening this weekend, Cars 3. It's Lightning McQueen. He's back. Owen Wilson, of course, voices the legendary race car. And in this film, he's out to prove to a new generation of racers that he's still the best race car in the world. Also joining Owen Wilson, Cristela Alonso does lends her voice. Chris Cooper, Nathan Fillion. It's going to be the big movie of the weekend, in my opinion. A lot of kids love this franchise. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Your racing days are coming to an end. I decide when I'm done.
How you feeling?
I can't go out on the track and do the same old thing. It won't work.
Jackson Storm set a new record today when he pulled off the fastest lap ever recorded.
This is my last chance, Cruz. Last! If I lose, I never get to do this again!
You'll never be as fast as Storm, but you can be smarter than him.
The racing is the reward.
You are all going to die tonight.
No, it's Kevin. Lovely it's not, and wonderful and get her done. I'm sure he shows up at some point and it's just everyone has a good time. Wow. And then he will say that eventually. And a rough night. Scarlett Johansson, Kate McKinnon, Zoe Kravitz, Lana Glazer, just a talented bunch of ladies. Jillian Bell, we had her on the show yesterday talking about this. Things go terribly wrong for a group of girlfriends who hire a male stripper for a bachelorette party in Miami. Spoilers, things don't go well for that bachelor stripper dude. And, you know, chaos ensues. It's fun, it's girls, it's drinking, and girls and falling down and...
Some cocaine.
Some cocaine and some death.
Right.
What could be better? Here's some clips from the trailer.
This is it. Your bachelorette weekend.
What's in my head?
There's going to be so many hot Miami babes. We are going to be swimming in, girl.
Hi, Alice.
Peter. Hi. Hey. And get out of here. She's mine now.
I'm getting too much trouble, okay?
Yeah, I won't. I don't know.
Stop being a stupid and do a little cocaine. Sorry, I did a little bit of it. Oh, God. I killed a guy.
Time to call the police.
No. Let's sober up and then we'll call the police. Let's get rid of all the drugs. I'm on it. Not by doing them. Okay, someone tell me what to do and I will do it. Huh?
Right?
That's the choice
she's
right there.
She's great, by the way. I mean, it's a great cast. But yes. How impressed are you with Jillian Bell as a comedian?
Yeah, she's a scene stealer, for sure.
Absolutely. There's a ton of scene stealers in this movie, and I think it's going to be very entertaining. And
it's rated R, which is good.
Right. It's for the grown-ups.
Yep.
But I still think Cars 3 is going to kick some box off his ass.
Maybe.
That's my prediction. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Got a real legend in the halls here at K-Rock coming up right after the top of the hour. Carl Cox, one of the most popular DJs in the world since the 1980s.
Yep.
And he's still out there getting it done. Kevin, I'm sure you've danced your ass off to a few Carl Cox shows, right?
You know me, dance or die.
Right? So yeah. Carl will be in here right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, Ralph steps in for the Showbiz Beat at 6:52 on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. You know, Father's Day this weekend.
Right.
Big, big plans. Everybody going to celebrate?
I mean, I'll call Chief if that's what you're asking.
I'm going to call Chief, too.
Me, too. I'm calling Chief.
I'm going to hang out with him.
Going to hang out with Chief?
Yeah. Well, if Bean isn't.
That's your age range.
Oh, Bean isn't.
Like.
He's a party.
He's more fun than you. I think.
I'm not positive.
I think Cookie and Chief would make a great couple.
Right?
Personally.
Thanks.
That's what I'm thinking. Who are the worst TV dads?
Bill Cosby?
I think you have to separate Cliff Huxtable from Bill Cosby. Who are the worst TV dads? This is an interesting survey. Because usually they do, best TV dads every year around Father's Day. And that's usually the usual suspects. I'll give you just real quickly who they were. Dan Connor from Roseanne was considered the best TV dad. Cliff Huxtable was second.
Right.
Ray Barone from Everybody Loves Raymond. Third. Ward Cleaver, of course, from Leave It to Beaver. And Peter Griffin, fifth on the list.
I was going to put Peter on the worst list.
Peter Griffin was my first guess.
You'll be happy to know he is also on the worst list. He is number five of the bottom five of worst TV dads.
He's a terrible father.
Yeah, but he kind of loves his kids.
Kind of. Not Meg.
Well, no one loves Meg. Peter is the fifth on the list. Any other guesses as worst TV dads?
Homer Simpson.
Homer Simpson,
in the
third.
Same vein, yeah.
Third, yes. Loves his kids, but not really a very effective father.
Don Draper,
not on the list.
That's a good guess, Allie.
Thank you.
Well, you're grim, Allie.
Apparently it's not, though, because it's not on the list.
Archie Bunker.
Nope.
All right.
Bean?
I'm drawing nothing but blanks. I'm sorry.
Al Bundy,
fourth on the list.
Wow.
Kevin.
That was Chip.
Got to give her credit.
Number the second worst TV dad, Tony Soprano.
Oh.
Forgot about that show.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Really?
Wow.
Forgot it existed?
I mean,
you're
in
a few
that
episodes
moment,
behind.
In that moment. Yeah, I'm a couple behind.
Yeah. Worst TV dad, this one stings, I think, if you're this guy, because it's not a character.
Oh, no.
Ozzy Osbourne was listed as the worst TV dad.
That's awful.
That is a burn and a half right there. That's sad. Yet somehow very true.
I mean, come on.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of Peter Griffin, it's going to be a touching Family Guy this Sunday. Family Guy is going to pay tribute to its mayor, Adam West, who we lost last Friday. At the age of 88, they're going to do a special Adam-centric episode and dedicate the evening to him. So if you're a Family Guy fan and you want to say farewell to the mayor, that's a good way to do it. Sunday night, Fox has announced a special Adam West-based evening of Family Guy. Speaking of Adam, last night, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, Police Chief Charlie Beck, myself, Burt Ward, Lee Merriweather, Catwoman from the 60s Batman movie. We're all on hand to shine the bat signal up on City Hall last night at 9 p.m., and it was quite the event for everyone who showed up. Thanks so much for coming out. The numbers were the same. Over 10,000 people lined Spring Street and Grant Park across the way.
Crazy huge.
It was crazy huge, and it was a really special evening. So thanks to everyone who showed up, because it was very cool. It was a very nice send-off, and I know the family was touched because I was hanging out with them, and it was really a nice moment. So.
Did Jaden Smith see the light and show up?
No.
Oh, geez.
Luckily for all of us.
Oh, my God.
The white Batman did not show up.
We have to check in with the new white Batman this morning.
He is the worst.
I think had he shown up, he would have been pummeled about the face and neck, so it's probably a good option for him not to show up. And while we're talking about America's favorite dad, Bill Cosby, after 4 days of deliberation, the jurors still cannot come to a unanimous verdict in his assault trial. Yesterday, the judge, Steve O'Neill, sent back a note to the jury room saying, "Each of you has a duty to consult with each other to reach a conclusion, if it can be done without violence."
Oh, really?
Wow.
"If after
deliberation,
you are still deadlocked, you should report that to me." So we'll wait and see what happens today. The jury could still find Cosby guilty on one or two of the three charges. Doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Oh, okay.
Or he could be found guilty of all three. He could be found not guilty of any or all of them. But if the jury tries again and is still deadlocked on all three charges, it would be considered a hung jury, and that would open up the possibility for a mistrial. So I guess we'll wait and see today how things go. But
and then everybody would have to decide whether they wanted to retry it.
Retry or not, yeah. So.
Oh, if he walks, man.
Right.
That's going to suck.
And from the worst people to the best people, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I'm sure you saw the news about that horrific fire at Grenfell Tower in London Wednesday night. That apartment building that was engulfed in flames. Hundreds of people live in that building. They've only found 30 victims so far, but they're hoping it doesn't go into triple digits with the number of people they find. But people were shocked and surprised at the building Wednesday night as it was engulfed in flames. Who showed up to support the victims and comfort them but Adele and her husband, Simon Konecki? Who does that?
Adele.
She's remarkable,
I agree.
Witnesses say she stayed for a while trying to comfort the people and the families of the victims and hugged anyone who asked for one, they said. She was going around just hugging people. So, remarkable lady.
She really is.
Really special.
Man, that was an awful thing. And you look for any kind of good news out of a horrible tragedy like that. They're literally, and this had earmarks of reminding us of 9/11, but there literally were people throwing their kids out the windows because they couldn't get away from the fire. And by all accounts, they were caught and survived.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, if there's any positive that comes out of it, at least, more people didn't die.
The building apparently is so damaged from fire there, it's a safety hazard, so they're not able to get into it to the upper floors to find the apartments to see how many more victims they have dealing with. So this is going to be something over the next week to 10 days they're going to be dealing with, finding more and more victims. So horrible, horrible stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Banks is 29 years old today. Singer, actress Missy Peregrine is 35, as is our buddy Adam Ray. Speaking of buddies, Petros Papadakis celebrates his 40th birthday today. And actor John Cho is 45.
How old is Pete?
40.
Oh, he looks awful.
Jeez.
That's what Bean does to his friends.
Happy birthday.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Right?
What did you get him for his birthday? A box of farts?
Oh, that's right.
It's the kind of gift you would give.
Right?
Meanie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Coming up, EDM pioneer Carl Cox in studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, legend in the house, DJ, producer, dance music expert, Carl Cox is here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Carl?
Look at that. That's fantastic. I'm very well.
Are you a dance music expert?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I would say, Carl, that if anyone in the world is a dance music expert, it is you, because you have been playing records, I feel like, almost every day of your life for the last 50 years, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I kind of... I was born in the early 60s, so any music that came around from the time when I understood the music, when I when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And then, yeah, that was me, the like, kind of the young Michael Jackson of the DJ world at that time.
And by the way, when you talk about the era in which you came up, how could a young man living in England not fall in love with music when you think about what was on the radio around 1970? When you think about those bands, how do you not get excited about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, you know, with the Beatles coming forward with their sound, and then, you know, we had the sound of Elvis Presley, Duane Eddy, we had Aretha Franklin in the early days, anything on Tamla Motown Records, on Stax, all that stuff, you know, sitting in the dock of the bay, all that music all came to me because my father basically was the one that went out and bought the records. But also I used to listen to the radio all the time. It was the only way that we could basically, or I could actually kind of hear the music that was basically going straight to the radio, and it was coming straight out the speaker, straight to us, you know, in the way that the scene was happening right there.
Right.
So I'm probably fortunate enough to be able to be at the very, very humble beginnings of everything.
All right, the movie that we're referencing is What We Started, and it basically traces most of EDM back to you. Does it kill you to see people that are now 18, 19, 20 getting $500,000 a night?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all due
to... You left somebody on the table, Carl.
It's all due to you, but when you were 18, 19, 20, there's not that payday.
I'll tell you, I mean, in my early days, I was lucky if I got a pint after my efforts of DJing for like 5 hours, you know. It was like, there you go, Carl, you was great, here's a pint, you know. It's like, and it would be warm anyway, because, you know, the English are always known for their warm beer. But, you know, it's things have just changed now, you know. And there was no cottage industry for where things are right now. In the early days, most of the kind of famous DJs were radio presenters, the ones that could reach out to millions of people at that time. And they're the ones that were the highest earning DJs. Any other DJs outside of that were basically not seen as DJs, just DJs playing other people's music. So why should we pay you? You know? I said, you should pay me because I can mix one record into another record.
Better than anyone else,
it's
right?
It's like, hey, check this out. You know, things are happening here, you know?
In terms of that, just the craft, the turntablism, the craft of being a DJ is so different now. Yeah. Does that kill you? Because it kills me, and I obviously am nowhere near you. But it bothers me when you see somebody just plug something in, press play. They never had to lug the records. They never had to do any mixing.
That's right.
You worked your ass off.
I mean, I've got the record box scars on my leg to prove that I carried those things around. But I mean, there's quite a few DJs out there at the moment now that literally don't. Basically, you know, cue records up with headphones, even.
Insane.
You know, and they're jumping up and down again, really crazy. And I look out, and the crowd are going mad. And I'm thinking, don't you guys realize that it's just playing one record and it's going to play another record in the end of the day? And there's no craft in actually mixing that music together. Where I still actually do that, you know. And I think people kind of like when you hear two records getting segued into each other and actually mixing and making stuff, people go, oh my God, he's mixing.
That's actually happening.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
They're like, you know, this is a craft which has been now kind of like diminished in the end of the day, because most of the true DJs, DJs throughout over the years, we had no abilities of being able to sync records, no ability to loop them, or even to basically just remix them live. It was, if the record was running out, it was running out.
Yeah.
You know?
That sounds much more difficult.
Get that in, you know, I'll be sweating away, I'll get to the end of the record, I'll be like, oh my God, and I'll get to the end and people go, whoa, you made it, you know.
This is the voice of Carl Cox here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, DJ and producer extraordinaire. Again, the film that premiered at the LA Film Festival yesterday is called What We Started, and Carl is just one of the many, many big stars that's in the movie, and it's wonderful if you get a chance to see it. Carl, you mentioned you started, you're real young, you fall in love with the music, figure out a way to start DJing, you've been doing it your whole life. Were there ever lean times where you thought, did it ever get to the point where you thought, man, maybe I can't make a living at this, or no?
No, not really, because the thing was, my defining kind of crossroads in my life was around about 1985. Now, I was basically working as a builder. I was always a laborer. I was working the tools. You know,
You had a day job.
I had a proper grafting day job. I mean, I don't have any things on my calluses or even on my hands to prove it now.
Anymore.
But years ago there was. You know, I was a very hardworking guy, and my last job was scaffolding. I used to make can I say erections?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you just did.
We enjoy that you did.
You know, I used to erect a lot of really good stuff on.
You've made erections, right? You know where Carl's coming from.
Yeah, and I hope to make more one day. Yeah.
On building, and I was quite proud of those erections. And
as you should be.
And I got to a point as well. In 10 years' time, would I still be doing this? Or do I basically follow my path of what I truly believe in and what I can do? And I know that I have the talent and the passion to be able to take that step. So I stopped scaffolding, and then I decided that I would try my hand in being a self-employed DJ.
Now, one of the sad parts of this movie is that your dad never supported that.
That's correct.
Never supported that, even when you started getting popular?
Yeah, my mum and my dad kicked me out of the house because I was making too much noise. The records were basically strewn everywhere. They really thought I was going down the wrong path, like, get a proper job. And I just had a proper job, and I just ditched it.
Right.
So they're like, right.
And so for parents, they're like, that's the worst thing that you can do.
Right. So, you know what, make it on your own, son, boom. Out you go. And I was like, you know what? And this is when I was about 17, 18. So, you know, it was still very, very early days for me. But it was a very good, I would say, grounding for me in the end of the day, because I really did have to support myself and to continue my path and what I believe I could achieve. And that basically was the defining moment for me, thinking after 3 years, I still haven't made nowhere near the same amount of money that I did as a scaffolder. Maybe I'll go back to that. And I just thought, nah, you know what? I ain't doing it.
But you were happier.
But the thing is, I think more than anything else, it's a timing thing, because the sound of house music was the very thing that I jumped on from a very high building. And the thing is about that is, for me, I felt that this was my time.
Mm-hmm.
Not any time before it. This was my time.
Swing, you're the right man at the right time with the right job.
Yeah, swing beat and kind of R&B and all this kind of down-tempo stuff at the time that was being played, I loved. But the kind of 4/4 driving sound and it's electronic. For me, this was the Carl Cox sound. And I think more than anything else, when I heard a record by Gary Numan, Cars, and that sound for me, even though it was a pop tune in the end of the day, it still was electronic music. And I loved that.
Interesting.
Let me stop you right there, Mr. Cox, because we have to take a very quick break. Kevin and Bean Show is on the air here on K-Rock. We're very honored to have Carl Cox in the studio. It's with us. We have so many more questions about his amazing career that's not done yet. And we'll return right after this on K-Rock.
We've got Carl Cox in studio talking about the movie What We Started.
People that have been in the game that long, they still might love it, but they're not exuding the energy that Carl exudes when he's behind the decks.
The longest that I've ever played is up to about 10 hours. Most people only go to work for 8 hours a day. In the 8 hours, they have, you know, a breakfast, they have a tea break, they have a lunch break, they have another tea break, and they go home for tea. We're still playing.
DJ Carl Cox in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a special treat for us. We've been fans for a long time, and he is here at K-Rock. The film, by the way, which does not have distribution yet, but we hope will soon, is called What We Started. It premiered at the L.A. Film Festival yesterday. By the way, just a name drop for us, Carl, some of the people that are in this movie talking about EDM and dance music along with you.
Yeah, you've got Eric Murillo in there. You've got Paul Oakenfold. You've got Moby. There's quite a lot of people that you haven't seen for a while in the movie, so it'd be nice.
Afrojack, Tiesto, David Guetta. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it kind of crosses all the boundaries and the barriers of where we've all ended up, basically. Mm-hmm. And in each individual story and each individual interview has its own kind of path. You can make different movies out of each of us' stories, but it's what we have been involved in. It's what we've done.
There were two moments in time when it seemed like it pretty much changed everything. One was David Guetta with the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, absolutely.
And that
put
just
EDM on pop radio where it just exploded, and now you're hard-pressed to find anything on pop radio that is an EDM.
That's right. You know, even a flock of fruit juice or something like that is going, wah, 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 drink this fruit juice. Wah, 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 you know, Jesus.
And the other was Martin Garrix with Animal.
I mean,
that was another turning point.
I wish I'd done that.
Let's talk about Martin for a second, because
the kid's a fetus.
He was about your age when you were getting into spinning, but obviously he came along a generation later. So are you amazed at how good he is at his age? Even now, he's only, what, 21?
Yeah, I mean, when you watch the movie, we clearly see that he had a path and a vision, but he also got supported by his family and his father, who still supports him today. So
he put a lot of that in there.
Yeah.
It felt like maybe that was a stab at you.
It was like,
yeah.
I do have a father.
My dad never supported me. Yeah, well, look at mine. He loved me. You're the best. He's talking to him. I'm like, what are you doing? Take it easy, Martin.
Yeah, I mean, all I wanted to do was go out, kick a ball and talk to girls and stuff like that and have a bit of a life. But anyway, at the end of the day, he's got a great path and a great vision. And actually, he's very talented and he's very passionate about what he does. And it comes across in that way from a very young person's point of view. I mean, I never really actually made it. My name didn't actually make it until I was about 27 years old. So from 17 years until 27, I was just working, doing
just
wine
no
bar.
One knew you. Right.
I was just doing my thing. Uh-huh. But also, we never had the internet or anything. I was just on a pager.
Right.
You know? And I thought, Carl's, being paged. And I'm like, oh, right, I've got to find a telephone box. Okay. Pull over. And then I get on the phone and I go, oh, yeah. Can you bring me some chips home, when they're away? I'm like, why are you paying me for that? Oh, my Jesus. Back in the car.
It's very different now, yeah.
It's very different now, right? So, you know what? He is an our generation. I've been involved in this for so many years, and to see everything evolve into where we are now, that it really helps people like Martin to be able to do what he had done to get to the path of his success.
Do you think your career would have been completely different with the internet and with, like, SoundCloud and different things like that, where people can actually make music and put it up immediately?
Yeah, no, I think we grew into this. I don't think if we had this straight away, we would have seen some wheat from the chaff, of course. But the thing is, I think we grew into it. So right. There's a respected path anyway, in the end of the day. And if people didn't like what he had done, then he would have known about it as well. But a lot of people did like what he'd done, and therefore he had this road to success. And don't forget, the same opportunities is by what Martin's had is by what millions of people can have as well.
Right,
certainly. All right, listen, before we run out of time, I have to ask, Carl, because I felt like a little bit with this movie and also with you stepping away from that Ibiza residency and quit your radio show and all that, I almost feel like you're pulling back a little bit. This isn't a retirement for you, is it?
Well, have you seen his Twitter?
Yeah, well,
he does seem active. I know you're going to Toronto and New York this weekend, so you're still out there working, but are you doing less now for some reason?
Yeah, the thing is, I've been doing this, in the nose to the grindstone for 30 years, and I mean, nearly every weekend. Playing somewhere, and I have felt that I've come to a kind of pinnacle point in my life now where I actually want to do less is more, but also want to give myself opportunity to actually have a life outside of the music.
So imagine that,
like most people would like to have, in the end of the day. But the thing is, the more I'm pulling back, the more people are pulling me in. I'm just thinking, it's like, okay. But the thing is now is that more than anything else, it's the traveling aspect of what I do now has become so great that that's one of the things that's really kind of like. I'm not comfortable with it anymore.
Understandable.
Yeah, playing completely. And DJing and do what I do, no problem. Making music in the studio, fantastic. But actually, the traveling aspect is the thing that I'm not really happy with.
Oh, it's a pain
in
the ass now. Of course.
It just takes time, a lot of time out of your life and your body. 25 years ago, I was like the comeback kid. Two Alka-Seltzers and when I was away to go. But
what do you feel like the big? What do you feel about the big festivals? Like this weekend is EDC in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Do you like those?
Those big festivals for me is like a gateway to the generation and my music that they don't get exposed to that much. So now that I've exposed them to that, I can walk away and go, okay, well. Whoever's involved in it now,
leave it in their hands.
They can go and go forth and multiply. As far as I'm concerned, I've done my job. At the end of the day, I can move on to stuff that I really like to do. I mean, everyone's at EDC, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm going to be in doing a club in Toronto this weekend. I'm going to be doing a thing called Governor's Island in New York City, and then I'm going to be doing a benefit party for Burning Man for our camp there on next Thursday in San Francisco, and then I'm going to go home back to England somewhere.
Wow. Carl's not missing out. He's having his fair share of fun. All right, let me ask you. One more question, Carl, and then I'm so sad that we're out of time. Again, the movie that premiered at the LA Film Festival yesterday is called What We Started. Keep your eyes peeled for it, and if you get a chance to see it, please do. But one thing that people will walk away from that movie laughing about is your 10-hour sets sometimes, which is insane and superhuman, and why?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, in my early days, I did nothing but play from the beginning to end. So I wanted people to understand if you're DJing, and then this is what a DJ does. And not only did I do a 10-hour set, I went back to revert to playing on turntables like I used to do back in the day. Because
so much more work.
So it was even more work, more stress.
How much weight did you lose
that? That seems like a bad decision.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of work. quite a bit of weight that was lost in that whole set. My feet were the things that was really
sure.
painful, because I was just jumping up and down the whole time, you know, listening to this music and playing it. But I really felt that I gave my all to that set. That whole ideal of
you're showing off and you're making everyone look bad, Carl.
Well, that was the yeah.
that was the idea.
That's right. Yes.
Mission accomplished. Then, all right. What we started is the film. Follow Mr. Cox on Twitter at @Carl_Cox, and the website is carlcox.com. Best of luck to you in all your future endeavors. A pleasure to meet you, sir. Thanks for coming
Thank
by.
Thank you K-Y. Very much. A pleasure.
Thank you. Comedian Jim Gaffigan joins us at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ali, you going to be okay?
I do enjoy him.
You do love him. Also, a brand-new Internet Roundup, including some Nick Offerman woodworking tips. And we've got tickets for you to join Kevin in the K-Rock section at the L.A. Galaxy game tomorrow night. All of that coming up between 8 and 9 this morning on K-Rock.
Let's talk about Jaden Smith for a second. The worst?
Yeah, he's up there.
The worst, B.
Is he the worst?
Yeah. Look,
the
he's
worst.
Got nothing but money and
right.
nothing but time.
Right.
And he does what a lot of kids do, which
right.
is make dumb videos for YouTube. Just we know about him because he's a celebrity.
But his latest, Batman. I mean, come on now.
He does love that Batman suit. He wore it to Kim and Kanye's wedding. He wore it to his prom. And now he has made a video about it, where he plays Bruce Wayne and Batman in the video.
Yeah, and the suit is, it's the white one.
It's a white Batman.
Yeah.
It's just the worst. Now,
it's the worst.
Is there a takeaway? Are we supposed, what's the point of it, is my question.
He thinks he's Batman because he's the worst?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. At the beginning of it, he's just sitting there at a desk, and he's talking to Commissioner Gordon, and then he goes into the action and the actual part where he's driving around in his stupid white bat suit.
Yeah. Batman, Joker just put me on acid. You want to wait like a maverick, we need to make something happen. Batman, please put me on new fashion. I ain't learned nothing since last year, you got the renegade fabrics. Batman, please put me up in a Tesla. I'm trying to be hella Asher, please hand me down any questions. Batman, heard that you ain't got a mattress. Heard that you're king of Manhattan, so always stay in the batches.
So that's a thing.
Why doesn't Batman have a mattress?
Well, let's ask him, because we have Jaden Smith on the phone with us here on K-Rock right now. Hey, Jaden, welcome back.
Kevin, hitting you on the radio, it
yes,
sounded
sir.
Like it's heaven, and you go there, and your bread will always leaven.
What? Jaden, don't feel like you need to rap at all in talking to us, but we wanted to get some more information about the Batman video and where you're coming from, son.
Bean, always so mean, and you're looking so lean. You have a car that runs on gasoline. Bean.
Okay. Hey, Jaden, why doesn't Batman have a mattress?
Alley. In between two buildings, there's a thing that's called an alley. And then when you bowl down an alley.
I mean, you're just saying alley.
All I can think of is the same word alley.
Jaden, I get the impression from this video and from some of the others you've made in the past that you don't spend a lot of time on your lyrics.
Bean, you are so insane. You don't know the things that I do are in my brain. I know how to say the words that can't remain.
What? How does your dad, Will Smith, who's a competent rapper, feel about the work that you're doing, Jaden?
Dad, he is always sad because I'm his son.
Right.
Wouldn't you be sad?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the best song so far.
That's very sad.
I gotta be honest.
No, I'm sad. Oh. I don't have a mattress. Why don't I have a mattress?
Right. Great question.
Question earlier.
I want to go to sit and sleep and buy a mattress.
Okay.
Your mattress is free.
Oh, my God. Jaden.
What? Does your dad give you any feedback on this nonsense?
Larry, you're
sorry.
Killing me.
Okay, so with the mattress.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm Allie.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right, so who's the man in the shirt and the hat in front of you who's about to do this showbiz beat?
Allie.
That's Ralph.
Ralph.
You keep getting them confused.
Sorry. So close,
they look very much alike.
Yeah.
What have I said? Okay, thanks, Elvis Presley.
Well, that would be weird.
Did you say, oh, thank you, Elvis? Would you just call me Elvis because that was the last name you heard?
Probably.
Just sticks in your head?
That's how my mind works, yes.
Remarkable. Let me give away something right now. How about $100 in a gift card that you can use at Box Lunch?
Yay!
Box Lunch, of course, is the gift and novelty store that has all the pop culture collectibles, movies, music, TV shows, superheroes, comic book stuff, and so much more. There's 8 of them in Southern California, or you can go to boxlunch.com and do your shopping online. Either way, here's a $100 gift card for you to use at Box Lunch. Why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 10. Caller number 10 wins $100 to use at Box Lunch.
It's not about winning. It's about the world, brother.
Right. Maybe you can use that Box Lunch gift card to get some Batman stuff. Last night was a very cool tribute down there at City Hall where they threw the bat signal up into the sky and projected it onto City Hall. It's a beautiful sight. About 10,000 Adam West fans showed up to celebrate the passing of the legendary actor who started the whole Batman craze back in the 60s. And I was on hand there along with the mayor and the chief of police, Charlie Beck, and Burt Ward, of course, who played Robin on that TV series, was in attendance, and Lee Merriweather, Catwoman. It was really a very special night. So thanks to everybody who came out and filled downtown Los Angeles with Adam West fans. It was a nice send-off for him.
I have a question, Ralph, and please don't yell at me if you don't know the answer. But
I can make no guarantees.
Did somebody in the last 2 days have to build a bat signal? Or is that something that already existed that they just pulled? They just brought out of storage? In other words, the device that they used to...
There's not really a bat signal because we don't live in Gotham City.
No, no, I saw the pictures of the actual piece of equipment that they used to shine that onto the side of a building. And
somebody had
to carve out the bat and everything to make the logo look like that. And I'm wondering if that's something that they had to come up with this week.
I understand the confusion. Much like many things in show business, this was a combination of effects to create an illusion in the moment.
But what about the bat signal on the building?
That was projected onto the building.
Okay.
But not by the piece of the prop in front of City Hall.
I see.
Which was on loan from Warner Brothers, which was a prop bat signal.
The big round thing with the bat logo in it is not what they used to put the thing on the building.
Exactly.
How did they put the thing on the building?
Well, things can be projected onto other things by use of lenses and light. And
well, of course.
You know, you should.
What? Don't tell me you all, of course, when you can't understand how you project something onto a building.
I'm just trying to figure out if this week somebody had to build something with the bat logo.
Hey, Bean, you should email Ralph. Because we're on the air.
I just think
we're doing a radio show that people can hear.
It was an image projected. It was a projected image.
Mm-hmm. That's enough.
How hard is that?
You don't need to
assume. Why do you even need to know more than a deep dive into this? Wouldn't that just be your first go-to?
But if you have to say, Ralph, how long did it take him to make it?
Thank you, Allie. Now we're getting into it.
Somebody's carving. There's no carving, okay? We're not sitting on the front porch whittling a bat signal. There's no carving involved at any
point. You
don't
know, man.
I do know. The one thing I know about this whole process, nothing was ever carved. There's no carving. Of all the technology used to create this illusion, carving was not one of them.
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
Okay.
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way. I hate so much about the things that you choose to be.
All right, I'll leave it here for now.
No, leave it there forever.
But I have many more questions.
There was no carving.
For another report.
Email him.
It was just Adam's bat symbol that he used to wear in his chest projected onto City Hall.
So they built it out of
bricks.
That's
it. That's all you need to know.
No. It was made of Lego or anything. It was just a projection. Something's been done since the 1700s. An image was shown through a projector onto a wall.
I don't get it.
Is that kind of how movies work?
Kind of, Allie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shut up!
Carving.
I mean, come on.
Who carved it?
Come on.
Yeah, it was carved out of soap, and then someone had to stick it up there on the wall.
Come on, man.
A lot of work. Hey, you guys might want to know, Rocky has picked the winner of the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather fight.
Is Rocky a prognosticating animal?
No, Sylvester Stallone is played a character named Rocky in the movies who was a boxer. And
they went to him to ask him who's going to win the fight.
Yes!
And they did that because...
He fought Hulk Hogan, right? So they figure he's a good guy to ask.
And Apollo Creed. Who he had a wooden hand, if I'm not mistaken.
I heard that, yes.
Sylvester Stallone tells TMZ that he's picking Conor McGregor when Conor squares off with Floyd Mayweather in Las Vegas this August.
Wow, he's going against the grain.
Well, he said he always chooses the underdog because, of course, he was Rocky.
Because
he was an underdog. And he said, I live my life in fantasy, which is kind of funny.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, he's a minority owner of the UFC.
Okay, Allie, why don't you just ruin it with all your facts?
Just saying.
That one did seem important, however.
I'd rather talk about Rocky. He is a minority owner. That's absolutely right. And that's, of course, the world McGregor comes from. So.
Sure.
Wait and see. I wonder if they're taking odds in Vegas or whether Conor just slips at some point and kicks him. Just can't help himself.
Oh, it's my training.
In the heat of battle, it just gives him a roundhouse. Just, hey, I'm sorry, for God, we can't do that here. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Banks, 29 years old today. Missy Peregrim, one of my favorite actresses, 35 years old. Along with comedian Adam Ray, also turning 35. John Cho, very talented actor. Sulu, of course, in the new Star Trek franchise. And Harold and Kumar, fame as well, 45 years old. And our good friend the P, Petros Papadakis, celebrates his 40th birthday today.
Yay!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. Comedian Jim Gaffigan is next.
Got a brand new internet roundup for you coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And then you'll have a chance to win some tickets to hang out with our man Kevin at the Galaxy versus the Dynamo at StubHub Center. Houston, by the way, one of the other best teams in the league, right?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
So this is a big...
It's going to be a good match.
Big match tomorrow night, so your chance to win those tickets coming up. You know the old expression. I think if I get it right, it's comedy equals tragedy plus time. Is that how it goes?
Yes.
Jim Gaffigan's going to get a lot of content out of his 2017, and it's always a thrill to have him back on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk about his upcoming dates in a second. But Jim, how are you, sir?
I am good. It is an honor to be talking to you all day.
All right, take it easy.
Let's not get crazy here.
You are my best friend ever.
All right, that actually sounded pretty convincing. Well done. So I mentioned the tragedy, but fortunately it had a happy ending this time. We can't go on without first asking how the wife is.
My wife is, she's doing fine. She's she had a brain tumor removed, mm-hmm. which, but she's home and she's fine. The tumor is gone, along with my ability to ever win another argument.
Yes.
But she's doing great. You know, she's not the type to bring it up. You know, I mean, well, she did once. She was like, I had a brain tumor. And I was like, that was like a month ago. You know what I mean? It's like, I have seasonal allergies. You don't see me, you know, leaning on that.
Hey,
she's doing great.
Jim, I've got news for you. My mother had a brain aneurysm in 2004. She's fine, came out of it wonderfully. But if we ever ask her to do anything, she just gently puts her hand on the back of her brainstem.
Sure.
So get ready for those just those cues from her.
No, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it was really scary for a while there because I was in the hospital and I was thinking, you know, I've got all these kids. So if anything happens to my wife, I was thinking, wow, I'm going to have to put them up for adoption.
Right?
Oh, you know, no.
I mean, that's the only responsible move.
Right?
Jim, we're gonna move on, but I was so stunned when I saw the description of the size of this tumor. I saw it referred to as the size of a pear. Is that right?
Yeah, the surgeon described it as a pear. It's always fruit, right? It's like a pear or a grapefruit. And initially I thought they're really, surgeons aren't good at analogies. And then I realized he was just dumbing it down for me.
Oh, I see.
He was probably looking at me and going, this guy doesn't understand centimeters. You know? I don't want to try and explain what a circumference is to him. And, you know, he probably doesn't eat fruit, but he's probably seen a pear, you know, when he's buying ice cream.
This is the voice of a comedian Jim Gaffigan here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and his wife, to whom he refers, is also his partner in comedy. They write together, they work together, and they are a true partnership. And I'm so fascinated with this extra that you have on your new comedy album, Jim. I wanted to make sure to get this out there because this is very rare and very cool. You had the Netflix special Cinco, and now it is out as a comedy album. You can get it on iTunes. But you've done something I've never heard of on a comedy album, which is kind of like a DVD track that goes along with it to, you know, kind of explain what happened, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to add bonus material, and so we added some bonus material, but we also added commentary tracks on each of the tracks, so it gives some background how we came up with the joke. Maybe if we removed some material, why we had to remove it, and it's my wife and I kind of commenting on chunks, and her pretty much making fun of me.
How interesting is that, guys? You never hear about what goes into crafting the joke and why it ended up being the way it was. And I just think for comedy geeks, I think that is a very cool inside look at how you work.
Jim, at some point, did you say, ha ha, I get it?
What? No. About what?
About your own comedy.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I'm somebody that works really hard, and I feel like I'm like the most successful dumb guy there is. So it's like, I love doing stand up, and, you know, the amazing thing for me is I when I got done with Cinco, I thought, all right, that might be it. You know, I've done 5-hour specials, but I ended up coming up with a new hour that I'm touring with now that I'm really excited about. So, it's fun. I mean, I've been doing stand-up for 800 years now. I should be getting better at it, hopefully.
Yes. How long did it take to put together the new hour? Was it difficult or easy?
I thought I didn't have anything.
Right.
And I think necessity, you know, I came up with, I would say, 40 minutes in, I don't know, 3 months, which was,
wow.
You know, compared to, like, my first hour took me, like, 10 years, so, and it's good stuff. So I'm really excited about that.
All right, well, Jim Gaffigan says the new Jim Gaffigan show is good stuff. So if you want to get those tickets, and you should, he's coming to Southern California Friday, September 8th and Saturday, September 9th at the theater at the Ace Hotel, which is a great place to see comedy. So 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and tickets are on sale now for some of the shows. Some are already sold out, but you can go to AXS.com to buy your tickets for Jim Gaffigan. So again, September. Don't mishear me. It's not soon, but get the tickets now. Otherwise, it'll be sold out. Jim, let me ask you one more thing before you go, and it's awesome to have you back on the show. And that is that I saw that you have a dramatic part in that new Liv Schreiber movie, Chuck, and I'm so excited by that. How do you think you did as a dramatic actor?
I think I did all right. I mean, I'm like the most white right guy in the world, and I played a Jersey guy. So, I played kind of a guy from, it was a period piece, but it was so fun. I mean, acting is a blast. It's just the process of getting the acting roles that, you know, make me slightly suicidal. You know, it's like, the auditioning is just insane. It's really not that different from stripping. You know, it's just you don't get the dollars. And no one wants to see me strip. So.
Allie?
I think Allie does.
I mean, I love Jim Gaffigan.
Right, well, don't we
all? That's
all
I'm saying.
So
I move very well.
I'm sure you do.
The album is called Cinco. The tour coming to the Ace Hotel in September. All the details at jimgaffigan.com. Great to catch up with you again, sir. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. Thanks. I love you guys.
Thank you. You're our best friend.
Okay. Best friend ever.
Right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We do have a pair of tickets for his show if you want to call right now. Caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Jim Gaffigan.
Our producer Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us. Hey, King.
Hey.
Ready for a brand new internet roundup?
Yes.
Let's do it. Yeah!
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's internet roundup.
Dave wasn't trying to be sexy there, was he?
No. It was low and it was soft.
No. Yeah. Oh, that was sexy, Dave. Yeah.
No, it was just low energy.
Yeah, you want sexy, Dave?
Yeah.
All right.
Hi.
Oh, wow.
By the way, Dave's going to EBC. He's already checked out. For
yeah, so hurry up.
It's a miracle he's in.
Do this.
It's only 8:24.
It's a good batch of videos this week, including our friend Mac Leith, who I still think is one of the most talented rappers in the world. He's got a great new video. There's new Honest Trailers this time for Beauty and the Beast. A couple of others we want to talk about before we hear some audio. One is Dave put a video in the roundup that is a real investment in your time. It is a 21-minute mini-movie called Rocka. And I'm going to be honest, Dave, I have no idea what we're looking at here.
Were you guys a fan of District 9, Chappie?
Yes.
Well, it's Neil Blomkamp. He directed it. Oh, he wrote and directed this. And
that's
now
all you had to say?
Yeah. Well, if you would have watched it, you would have. It's the very first thing that says written and directed by Neil Blomkamp.
I just saw 21 minutes and moved on.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Really? You can't just watch it for 2 minutes to see what it is? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, well, he's starting his own, like, YouTube company or studios that he's going to produce these little shorts, and hopefully they become movies.
It's really good.
Yeah, I would watch this.
I will watch it now that I know the man behind it. That's fantastic.
And Sigourney Weaver's in it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And just another play, video, man.
That really surprised me. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you have to watch this. This one is also 21 minutes long, but it is a cut of all the deaths in all the seasons of Game of Thrones. And I'm not a Thrones guy, but if you had asked me how many people have died over the course of that series, I would have guessed, I don't know, 300. All right? It's 150,966 deaths.
Oh, it's 150,966. Come on.
Yes, it is.
Right. And you see every single one of them.
And I did watch all 20
of course
minutes
you
of
did. That's unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Let's get to some audio. I love this first one. This is in that that series again where you asked, like Dr. Ken, you ask him medical questions. In this case, you asked the great actor Nick Offerman woodworking tips because that's his thing. You'll hear him answer two questions here. The second one, somebody sends in a picture of their cute baby, and he reviews the baby. But here's Nick Offerman on woodworking.
Woodworking Guys asks, noob question, what angle should I cut a miter joint at? I would first address your grammar. Next time, try, at what angle should I cut a miter joint? Traditionally, you're going for a 90-degree corner, so you always bisect your angle. So that would be a 45-degree angle. All your corners should add up to 360 degrees. So if you're making a picture frame, that's 4 times 90 degrees, that's 360. If you're making a hexagon, that's 6 corners. That means 60 degrees per corner. Bisected would be 30 degrees.
A lot of math.
But generally, a miter joint refers to 45 degrees. At Grant Rothberg asks, true or false, most adorable woodworking assistant ever? Looks like a clean diaper. She's proffering a 2x2 of some softwood, I'm guessing pine, which loses a couple of adorability points, but pretty cute. And one might ask, is that apron necessary? I'll give her a 7.
He's the best.
I love Wired for doing these.
Oh.
Omaze is back. This is the charity where they put on
Omaze.
I think it's Omaze.
Is it Omaze?
Yeah.
Okay, Omaze. They put the charity thing where you can be in the Star Wars movie, things like that, and you buy raffle tickets. And this one is actually going to be pretty fun because this is a dodgeball movie reunion. So you got Vince Vaughn's team over here, the Average Joes, and then you got Ben Stiller's team over here, and you actually get to play in a game with them and Justin Long and a whole bunch of the other people that were in the movie as they reunite for dodgeball. So the Omaze folks put out this video to let you know.
Still Omaze.
You'll like it.
He fell down on the ground because he got hit in the face with a wrench.
White, I'm going to drop you like third period French. It's on.
Oh, yeah, it's on. It's on AF. It's on so much that it never was off.
like it was a waste of energy because we kept it on the whole time. Prepare to be humiliated on internet television. For charity.
Pump the brakes, White. This moment is bigger than the both of us.
Go to Amaze.com/Globo to join my team.
Or go to Amaze.com/Joe's to join our team.
Or go, don't go to Amaze.com/nothing. Don't.
Or do.
Do don't. Slash do don't. Do don't. Do don't.
Slash Joe's.
Don't.
Slash Joe's.
Don't.
Vince Vaughn is great in everything, and I love Ben Stiller's character from Dodgeball.
Let's enter. Come on, let's play dodgeball.
I would.
Right.
You go to Omaze.com, Dave.
Omaze.
And Jimmy Kimmel is back with his good friend Snoop Dogg. I love this feature so much. They don't do it often enough on Kimmel, but this is Snoop, who is narrating actual animal footage. And in this particular case, this is a bunch of snakes going after what? Like a lizard or something, right?
Yeah, it was a
salamander? What is it?
It was planet Earth, iguana. I think. Yeah, and it's amazing footage. You should watch it, but it's even better when you hear Snoop Dogg do play-by-play.
Snakes are straight assholes. You could tell the way they looking at. They plotting right now. See how they got their necks up? That means they coming to get him. The lizard don't even see what's happening. But you understand me? One thing about a lizard, I think he a Geico. If he a Geico, he got a 15% chance of making it up out of here. Well, he peep game right now. He's seen it. He's seen it. You watch. Oh, get out of there, man. Go. Did you see the feet on him? Oh, they coming from everywhere, cuz. This is crazy. Oh, that's f***ed up. Oh, jump. 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 Run. Run. Oh, here you go. Get a hold of it. See, snakes can't do all that because they ain't got hands. And they ain't got feet.
That's true.
Damn. Yeah, cuz. I'm up on the top of the mountain with you. Remind me of my homeboys when they're running from the police. Clean getaway, baby.
You can enjoy all these videos and so much more right now at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right. We are going to open the phones. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067, if you want to win a pair of tickets to the KRock section to see the LA Galaxy Saturday night play the Houston Dynamo. I will be there. Plus, we'll have an autograph session, including Giassi Zardes. How about that? So call now, 1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to play an old game. It's called Beat Kevin, and we'll do it next.
I don't know, not yet. I don't feel like we need...
You can go to KRock.com.
Everyone in here.
Excuse me. I take it all back. You can go to LAGalaxy.com/KRock and buy your tickets in the KRock section for tomorrow night's game, Galaxy versus Houston at StubHub Center, with an autograph session after the game. We're giving away some tickets, and we thought since you're hanging out with the monkey, since you're in Kevin's section, it'd be fun to do a Kevin-centric game.
But who thought of this? We haven't played this in
11 years.
11
years since we played Beat Kevin. So we asked Omar to pull us out the theme. And what's the deal with this theme? We haven't heard in so long, Al.
The deal is that this was made when Jimmy was still working on the show.
Jimmy Kimmel.
All right. And it's Lightning going, Beat Kevin, Beat Kevin. And then, yeah, Lightning's on it. And then Jimmy Kimmel does the rest.
All right. Let's hear some Beat Kevin, shall we?
Beat Kevin.
I'd be inclined to think not. That's amazing.
That awesome?
All right, here's the way, since it's been so long, let's make sure we all know how the game is played. I'm going to ask a question that is soccer-related. It's going to have a number as an answer. Kevin, you will answer the question as the best of your ability. You're going to guess what the answer is.
Okay.
Then the caller on the phone just has to say whether they think your guess is exactly correct or if the correct answer is higher or lower. So it's really on them. It's up to them as to whether how they think your guess is.
Right. So you don't have to come up with a number. I do that. Then you just have to guess if I'm which way I'm wrong, because I will be wrong.
Exactly right. So if you do beat Kevin, not only do
beat
you
Kevin!
Win,
not yet.
Hold on. Not only do you win the tickets to the Galaxy
game. It's been a long
game
time, guys.
Tomorrow night, but Kevin does
literally get beaten. And
I guarantee some bruising.
This Omar's in here, Dave's in here, Chip's in here.
Never seen Omar healthier.
Omar, did we do this game on your second day or something like that?
Yeah, we did it on my second day, and I was like, you know, I'm the new guy, so I barely hit him. But like,
well, let's go back to those times.
No.
He's got a vuvuzela. No. Who needs that? Yeah. It's a giant plastic. All right, let's hear our let's meet our first contestant, shall we? Our first contestant is also named Kevin from Anaheim. No. Hi, Kevin. What a surprise that Kevin on the phone is unemployed, huh? All right. You ready to play the game here, sir? You know how it works?
He's named Kevin. That's
right. You let Kevin answer first, okay?
You're not going to get any...
No, I'm just watching. Oh, yeah.
Man. It feels so good, Alex.
So good, Alex.
I can't hear our caller at all, by the way. Are you there, Kevin?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Okay, Kevin answers first, and then you tell us whether higher or lower. Major League Soccer has teams all over North America, Kevin, as you know, and two of those teams are the Galaxy and the Dynamo playing tomorrow at StubHub Center. But how many teams are there in the league, in the MLS league? How many franchises are currently playing? Kevin, you go first.
30.
You say 30. All right, Kevin on the phone. Is Kevin right on? Are there 30 teams, or is the correct answer lower or higher?
Lower.
It is lower. The answer is 22 teams, 19 in America, 3 in Canada. It. Congratulations. Yeah. You beat Kevin. All right. Let's go to Anthony in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Anthony.
Oh, hello.
All right, Anthony, here's the question. Let Kevin go first. Kevin, your boyfriend Landon Donovan, of course, is retired now, but remains in the MLS record books as the league's all-time scorer of goals. The question is, with how many? In 16 seasons, how many goals did Landy Cakes score?
310.
All right. Anthony on the phone. Is that right, or is the correct answer lower or higher?
I want to go higher.
I'm sorry. No, it's 145 goals is how many Landy
Cakes. All right. It was a little high on that one.
But thank you for playing anyway, Anthony. All right. Let's go to Greg in Los Angeles. Hi.
How's it going?
It's going well. Why are you laughing, Greg?
300 is a fairly large.
It is a lot of goals.
Those are ridiculous guess. I know.
All right. The professional soccer players in the MLS are truly an international bunch, hailing from more than 60 countries around the globe. But here's the question for you, Kevin. What percentage of current MLS players were actually born right here in the good old US of A? What percentage of the MLS players right now are American born?
What percentage? I would say 70.
70. Ooh. All right. What do you think there, Greg?
That's a tough question.
Right?
I'm going to guess it's higher than that, though.
It was a good guess, but I'm sorry. Two-thirds is what it said. 66%. So Kevin's guess was
so close.
Pretty close. So close. And I'm really pretty sorry, close. Greg, but thank you for playing.
We're not giving away any tickets. Does that bother anyone?
Yes, it does. It's bothering me that I'm not going to get it beat you.
All right, take it easy, man. This is take it easy.
Omar,
let's get on this, guys. Come on, Miguel.
Miguel in Long Beach.
Hi, Miguel.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, we're good. This close to rounding up a posse and coming after you, Kevin. All right, we're playing Beat Kevin. Here's your question. Last year, Forbes magazine published a story ranking the 10 most valuable Major League Soccer franchises. The Seattle Sounders FC was at the top of the list with an estimated team value of how much? How much are the Sounders worth, according to Forbes?
I'm going to say... $140,000.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to say $140 million.
$140 million.
Yes.
All right, Miguel, what say you?
Higher.
Yeah, $285. Wow. $285 million. Congratulations, you're going to the game. You
get
beat
him,
Kevin.
Yeah!
He's shouting, get him, Dave. Yeah! That's not the point. All right, let's go to Nydia. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
In San Fernando. Hi.
All right, Nydia. Of course, you can make a lot of money as a professional athlete. Kevin, your friend Kaká, who plays for Orlando, is the highest paid player in the league right now, making more than $7 million a year.
Yes, correct.
Here is your question.
No.
What is the average salary for MLS players in 2017? The average salary.
Average salary, I'm going to say $65,000.
$65,000.
Really? That's my guess.
Let's see. I'm going to say lower.
Why would you say lower?
Because she thought it was lower.
Don't mock her. $316,777 is the average salary. I'm sorry, Nitty, you didn't win, but we do have time for one more beat, Kevin.
Surprised by that one.
Let's go to Adrian in Santa Fe Springs. Hi there.
Hi.
I think the league minimum, Kevin, is around 65.
Okay.
All right. Some families just get more than their share of athletic talent. In the 21-year history of the MLS, how many sets of brothers have both played in the league? How many sets of brothers have both been professional U.S. soccer players?
At the same time?
Not necessarily.
Not at the same time.
I'm going to say six.
You say six. All right.
Adrian?
What do you think there, Adrian?
That's a tough one. I'm going to say just a little higher.
Higher is correct. In fact, 10 have played on the same team at the same time. 16 overall in the 21-year history. So a lot of kids growing up playing soccer.
Yay, Kevin. You're going to the game. Hit him, boys. All right, take it easy.
Thanks for playing Beat Kevin.
Beat Kevin, Beat Kevin, Beat Kevin, Beat
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Last couple of weeks, there's been something new in the 9 o'clock hour on a Friday to look forward to besides us singing our favorite song, Dope Bogart, and that is the new feature called Keep It 100, where we give you the opportunity to pick any K-Rock song that you can think of that you love. If we've got it, we'll play it.
We have a lot of songs in our library that we don't play most of the time.
Almost everything you've ever heard over the years at K-Rock is still in the library, so it's really up to you and your imagination. The K-Rock song you miss the most that you wish we would play, now is your opportunity to do it. All you have to do is text us at 1-800-520-1067. Include your name and the song that you want us to play, and the 100th texter right now gets that song played right after the top of the hour. 1-800-520-1067.
Bengals.
Come on, Oingo Boingo.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Could be.
Come on, you Charlotte.
I'm going to ruin it for everyone, Chip.
Really, Chip.
So keep it 100 next to K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat.
Walk like an Egyptian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you get that by him doing the Egyptian moves?
Because that's what Susanna Hoffs does.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
The very first text that came in was 500 Miles by the Proclaimers.
Oh.
Yes.
See? Good. That's a good one, too, right?
Right? Who's with me?
Couldn't remember the words.
Don't stop now.
I was out of the
You were good until it got to 500 miles, which is the title of the song.
And then nothing.
And I would walk 500 more.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Hey, Ralph, should we really
walk 1,000 miles at your
At least mine was short.
Oh. That's what she said.
Let's follow Trevor's lead and kick this party into high gear and play some Brick by Ben Folds. let's really make it the weekend.
That's a party right
there.
That is
the best strip song.
What's that thing coming? What's that thing coming out of the tracks? Is it a machine? Is it a train?
Nope.
Oh, Ralph. Poison Arrow.
Oh! Little ABC, bitches!
Yeah.
See?
These are great
ones coming in. I just hope 100 doesn't suck.
Yeah, so there's a lot of pressure on the person who's the 100th text.
Is suck,
yeah.
Right? Because all these would have been great. If you're 100 and you suck, I'm coming after you. All right, let's talk about new music, shall we? Coldplay released a new single yesterday. It'll be on the band's new EP, Kaleidoscope, which comes out digitally on July 14th and on CD and vinyl on August 5th. EP also has collaborations, of course, with Chainsmokers. We've heard that. Big Sean. This is the new single, All I Can Think About Is You, from Coldplay, dropped yesterday. Here's a little taste. Troubles on the outside, the moon. Now, all I can think about is you. It's kind of moody.
It is.
It's got a vibe to it.
Anyone checked on Chris?
No, he's fine. He's a little different.
I mean, that's
a different spin.
That's a good tip.
Fine. Speaking of
fine
songs,
at the Manchester thing, but it just sounds like he's had a hard week since then.
Speaking of songs, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but John Lennon's song "Imagine" now has a co-writer. They've added a writer onto "Imagine" by John Lennon.
What year is that from?
That's from 1971.
And they added a writer this year.
They finally got around to giving credit to the co-writer of that song. Yoko Ono. That's right. Yoko Ono.
Oh, come on. Well, she's well known for her great lyrics.
What a songwriter.
Come on. Come on.
You can hear it. If you listen to that song, you can hear her influence.
Come on.
Imagine there's no heaven. That's just like what she would say.
This is her.
Oh, that's right.
She wrote "Imagine," this woman.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah. That's not right, right?
Right.
And why would she even accept it? Why would she say yes?
Yeah, it's not like she gets any more money out of it, out of being co-writer. She already gets John Lennon's money, so there's no advantage to it.
Why can't she just let him have his thing?
Right?
Right.
She already broke up the Beatles. What else does she want to ruin? Katy Perry wants you to know that all award shows are fake. She told the New York Times this week in an interview, all the award shows are fake. All the awards that I've ever won are fake. They're constructs. Meaning that apparently everybody was in on it when they were giving that stuff away. I don't know which award she has won and which one she's talking about, but I mean, I know like the MTVs and those kind of things. I think they even let the people know ahead of time that they're going to be winning. But she said she's trying to evolve musically. Trying to become more socially conscious with her music. But she said, this doesn't mean she's leaving her more sugary pop image behind completely. I didn't kill her because I love her. And she is exactly what I had to do then. I'm not a con artist. I didn't con people like that. It was just me, and this is me now. So, sounds like a young lady who's trying to move forward. If that Taylor Swift would just stop it.
Being the devil,
her.
Right?
That's right. Last night, there was a tribute to Adam West at the City Hall downtown on Spring Street. I want to thank everyone to come out. We had a ton of Kevin and Bean and K-Rock listeners that came up to me afterwards and were very kind. But it was a very cool event. They projected the bat signal up on City Hall.
That's
not getting into the carving, shall we? It was really heartfelt that about 10,000 Adam West fans showed up for the event. And Burt Ward, Robin was there, and I was there, and Catwoman was there, and Mayor Garcetti and Chief Charlie Beck were also on hand. So it was a very cool event, and I want to give a shout-out to the mayor's office because they're the ones who came up with the idea, and they put it together. In a couple days, they made it all happen. So,
Ruff, did you get your photo taken with Mayor Garcetti while you were there?
We took a bunch of group photos, and there were so many people like doing that kind of stuff that I'm sure one of me somewhere, someplace that I'll try.
Because when he's president one day, that'll be a cool picture to have.
I'll tell you something. I don't know if this is shallow of me, but because of last night, I will vote for him for anything forever. Is that a bad sign that my political views are based on Batman?
I mean, yes.
Adam West?
Yeah.
That couldn't be worse than a lot of other political views, though, right?
Yeah. No question.
Totally.
I vote a strict Batman ticket up and
he's
down.
He's on the right side of law and order.
I think so.
I made my decision to vote for him when he was at a rally after the Kings won the cup and he said the F word.
He sure did.
And I was like, all right, that guy gets my vote.
I tell you, we had a chance to chat before the event and he is a charming mother effer, that guy. And genuine and nice and down to earth. And we just, it was really, he was great. It was his group, his people there who came up with the idea to do it, who executed it, put it all together, got us all, gathered us all together. It was remarkable, but it all came from him and his staff saying we should do something to honor this guy. I mean, who takes that kind of time to worry about other people, you know?
Somebody who doesn't care about the real problems of Los Angeles.
I mean, I'm not going to say that when he was here, he said he'd check on putting speed bumps on my street because people speed down it, but I mean, he didn't call me. So, but he's still great.
Wow. I mean, come on.
But really, Cookie.
How petty can you be?
He said he'd check and he didn't.
Right. Jeez. I would have told you that too and then never gotten back to you.
I told him I had trouble with the water filtration in my fridge with my ice maker and he never got back to me on that either. So,
right?
What kind of guy is this?
He doesn't like other people.
Cookie's the worst, right? Can we all agree on that?
Cookie sucks.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, we're running late. Just look it up yourself. Dear. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you a little something about this this Friday feature, this Keep It 100 feature. It's like playing Russian roulette on the radio.
Yep.
Because you don't know if it's going to land on Mexican Radio by Wall of Voodoo or Roland by Limp Bizkit, both of which were requested here today, by the way. We got With or Without You. We got Red Red Wine. We got Bulls on Parade. So many great choices. Thanks,
everybody. Oh, let's play Bulls on Parade.
Dude, that's not Caller 100.
But
let's play Keep It 100. Keep It 100.
Keep It 100, baby.
Keep It 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
Keep it 100. I'ma keep it 100.
I'ma keep it 100. 100. 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
All right, let's dial up Anna. She was texter number 100. She's in the 714. We don't know anything else about her, but let's find out what her deal is and play her song.
Keep it 100.
We dial in?
That doesn't stall for much time, does it?
Keep it 100.
Not hearing anything.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Hey, let's dial live on the air. That's a great idea.
It is a great idea. If she answers. Come on, Anna.
What could go wrong?
Don't make me look like a dilly. Good idea.
So the conversation
was discussed when I was in the bathroom.
The conversation was, do we want to have her on hold or just call her live?
Uh-huh.
And Bean's like, oh, let's call her live.
You obviously put her on hold.
It makes it so much more exciting, Bean's.
Fun. Hey, oh, I'd like to point out, by the way.
Fun. She's not answering.
I'd like to point out the person who dialed the phone.
Well, she just, we just got the answering machine. So.
Call again.
Yeah, call again. Yeah, this is good.
Did Chip dial the number or did Kevin dial the number?
Chip did.
Oh, that's probably right.
Sorry.
I thought that was my out, is that Kevin probably just misdialed.
You missed all with the theme?
Keep it 100.
That was okay, good stuff.
It does
good
eat stop, up a lot of
Kevin.
Time.
That's all the time we got.
Anna's going to pick up. Anna's cool. Anna's going to pick up. I feel good about her.
Anna's cool.
How do you know anything about her?
Because she's
dodging her call.
Anna! Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Anna.
What happened? We called and you didn't answer. Why are you shining us like that?
Hi there. I'm sorry. I just turned on the speaker. I couldn't hear what you guys said.
Ah.
Well, we said welcome to the program and welcome to the weekend. How are you, my dear?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We want to hear your story, Anna. You are what's your deal? What where do you live? What do you do? What's your deal?
Why? Just to request the song, I got to tell you my whole life.
I mean, no, yeah. You can just give us a quick summary.
Anna just nailed you, Bean.
Yeah. Just to request the song, she has to give you her whole life.
What city do you live in, Anna?
I'm in Fountain Valley, California.
Okay.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm in the medical field.
Okay, that sounds sketchy. Right? I think she's doing something with the operations south of the border.
She's
what it
running
sounds like
from the law right now. That's why she's not answering her phone.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but man, do you love Kevin and Bean.
I love Kevin and Bean.
Okay, there we go. That's what we're looking for. Anna, you get to be the music director of K-Rock right now. You get to pick any song you've ever heard on the station. What's it going to be today?
Well, how about I Ran by Flock of Seagulls?
All right.
Yeah! And you're requesting that because?
Because I love to run.
Love Anna so
I think I love Anna.
All right, we'll let you get back to jogging, then, Anna. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We love you. Thanks for keeping it 100 on K-Rock.
Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
Here's what we learned from Keep It 100.
Mm-hmm.
Anna's funnier than all of us.
Absolutely.
And should have her
job. By the way, a lot of love on her choice of the Flock of Seagulls song right there. Frank writes in, great choice, Anna. Hashtag keep it 100. Alex writes in, this was a success. Hashtag keep it 100. So Anna picked in the song here this morning. And we'll do it again next Friday just before 9 a.m. here on K-Rock.
Keep it 100.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it 100.
Right?
No, we're
still doing that?
Wait,
we're past that?
Yeah, we just did it.
Oh. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:25.
We're going to tell you about the greatest video on the internet this week, and by great, I mean awful. But first, something that's awesome is Super Steve back in studio to remind us that tomorrow at Santa Anita Park in the infield is the new Michelada Rumble. What's going on, Steve?
What's going on, fellas? The Michelada Rumble tomorrow. It's going to start at 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We got tickets right now for sale, $20, pre-sale, $25 at the door. We have the original Mary Jane girls, Como La Flor.
By the way, let's not go past that too fast. Mary Jane girls.
Yeah, the Mary
In
Jane girls.
In my house, that's them, go. Right?
Definitely. I'm sorry, can we hear more of that, Bean?
No, you can't, but that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
We have your favorite Michelada companies out there. We have Lucha Libre. We have the midgets. Kevin, if you're interested.
Midget wrestlers?
Midget wrestlers.
Love it so much.
We have women wrestling as well. We're going to have some lowriders out there, some classic cars, rat rods, lowriders, and, of course, thoroughbred racing.
Sure.
You know what I hear about
that
the lowriders?
That sounds like a good day. No, Bean.
No, don't do it. Okay, do it.
Okay, do
they
it.
They don't drive so fast now.
The tickets are on sale right now, you're saying, for $20 pre-sale. That saves you $5 if you got them at the door?
Yes, sir. MicheladaRumble.com. You can pick them up. And again, man, it's going to be a great day out there. We have a carnival for the kids, carnival games, I should say. Plenty of food trucks. It's going to be awesome. Weather's going to be great. You know, micheladas, wrestling, I mean, it's all there.
Midgets.
All
right. I mean,
Some
what else do you want?
Some of those michelada pictures from the last one, they were like food for a week in your drink.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
They get crazy on it, definitely. they do the shrimp. They do the mariscos, the bacon. I mean, they put anything and everything that they can to catch your attention. Yeah. And they're tasty. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's head on out there to Santa Anita tomorrow and be sure to say hi to our friend Super Steve.
Yeah, perfect.
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin.
Perfect.
Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into Ralph and the final look at the showbiz beat here and sing that song we all love, can we pause for just a moment and say a word about the fallen firefighter, Kelly Wong, who is all over the news today because his funeral was going on. It turns out that Mr. Wong was here in the building not so long ago here at K-Rock. And we got an email that I want to read from Bill Collier. He's a firefighter paramedic, LAFD, Fire Station 51. And he writes this to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. I was assigned to Fire Station 68 that covers your building. Sometime last year, my crew, LA City Fire Engine 68, was dispatched to your show for a fire alarm. Apparently, Beer Mug had set it off while using the restroom.
Yep.
You guys remember when that happened?
Yes.
Yep.
Now, was the problem coming out of Beer Mug, or was the problem coming out of him trying to cover up what was coming out of
it? It was overdosed with air freshener.
It was both, Bean. It was so bad that he emptied a can of air freshener in there.
Yeah, and it's a miracle that they didn't make the station move as a result of that, as a toxic hazard. Bill goes on, it was obviously a false alarm, and it ended up being a great experience for us to meet you guys on the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the firemen that responded was on your Instagram picture that we all took together, and that was Kelly Wong. Recently, he passed away while falling from an aerial ladder. I'm sure everybody saw that story in the news. It was just the saddest thing in the world. They're doing these training exercises, and he's, what, six floors up or something like that, and fell and passed away. Tomorrow, now today, Friday, June 16th, is his funeral. Anyway, you guys can give a shout-out for him. He is survived by his wife and one-year-old son.
Yeah.
Wow. So tragic, so sad, and obviously it hurts real bad to ever lose anyone, you know, in the fire department. But everything I've been reading about Kelly this morning, just a beloved guy. And it's such a sad story.
Strange way to meet him, I got to be honest. But
yeah, it was.
Yeah. Sad story.
Does it mention, are they having any kind of GoFundMe, or is there any sort of charity thing where people can donate or donate, help raise money for the family or anything?
Now,
do you know?
I haven't seen that, but I would be willing to bet if you just, you just Google Kelly Wong, the whole bunch of stuff is coming up.
We'll look too, and we'll put it on our social media. As soon as we find out.
Yeah, well, the funeral is going on right now down on Temple Street at the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. He was only 29 years old, you guys, and he fell about 60 feet from that ladder. And as we mentioned, the wife and the small child, that just makes it even sadder. All right, here's new information for you. We are putting a link up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page right now. Ralph, yes, there is a GoFundMe page for Kelly and his family.
Great.
So that's fantastic news.
Yes. Because now there's a mom with a one-year-old who's got to put her life back together.
Right.
So if you can give something, I'm sure it'll be helpful. Speaking of parents, Sunday is Father's Day. You're welcome.
What does that mean?
Just talking to my kid now that I know she listens. You're right. You have an awesome dad.
Wow.
She pulled her tooth out this morning, by the way. A lot of excitement at the house.
Oh, apparently. Is that right?
Yeah. First tooth?
No. Second one. Is there? No. Third.
Great dad.
Second or third, I don't know. She's got a whole head full of teeth. They're all coming out, right? Eventually.
When was the last time you met her?
Last week, I want to say.
No,
honey, I love you. You know that. But it was all wiggly, and she was looking in the mirror, and she's got fed up and just pulled it out.
Pulled it out.
Wow.
Yeah, what's that cost these days if the tooth fairy is leaving money?
$100. $100 a tooth?
No. Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah. It has escalated.
Isn't that crazy? No, I think it's a dollar a tooth these days is what the tooth fairy is given. Although, we have a very cool tooth fairy. I don't know if they have... You know, if you get individual ones or if it's a guy who has an area, is there a branch? How's it work?
I don't know.
Tooth fairy situation.
Why? Yours is better than most?
I just, he or she, I'm not one to judge. I don't know what kind of fairies they are.
Right.
Leaves silver dollars
behind
for teeth, which I think is cool because I haven't seen a silver dollar in a long time. It's kind of cool.
Well, I feel like I
would imagine Olivia
off.
Would look at that and go, that's not even real money.
No, because my child's smart, Bean, and she knows things. She's not an idiot.
I'm just saying, most six-year-olds have never seen a silver dollar, so they might not even think it's real.
Maybe they haven't been educated in the ways of the world.
Okay.
maybe I carve out the silver dollars.
Oh, let's not get into that.
Bean's obsessed with carving today. You want to know who carved out the bat signal last night at City Hall?
Yep.
As we paid tribute to Adam West, my new best friend, Mayor Eric Garcetti, was there. And
he's your new best friend, is he?
Yeah, you haven't seen the photo of me and him hanging out?
No. Ralph, you saw my suggestion once I saw the photo.
Right?
Garcetti Garmin 2020? Who's in?
You can go to at Ralph Garmin on Twitter. I posted it there for Bean. Because Bean asked me, did you get a picture with the mayor? And I said, I don't know if
I
did
know.
Or not.
But apparently what a lovely picture.
One snapped one while we were meeting. Apparently someone got a picture. So,
and Charlie Beck's in it, too.
We were there with the chief, L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck.
That's pretty cool.
Mayor Garcetti, Burt Ward, of course, TV's Robin was there. Lee Merriweather, Catwoman was there, and myself, and 10,000 Adam West fans showing up, Phil and Grant Park.
That had to be shocking.
It was unreal to look out on a sea of people who were all there just to pay tribute to Adam West. It was really, really cool, and I want to thank again the mayor and his staff for putting it all together in really just a couple of days. They put the whole thing together, and they got us all together, and it was really pretty awesome. So very, very nice. Thanks to everyone who listens to K-Rock who showed up as well. There were a ton of you.
Let me just get this straight, though, Bean. Because Ralph shook hands with him, he should be his vice president?
I'm just saying, you look at that photo and you go, these people are destined for national office.
There is a certain energy, Kevin. I have to give it to Bean on this one. When you look at the photograph,
you're agreeing with Bean now.
Yeah, there is a certain vibe that comes off that photo. You're like, yes, this energy together, this dynamic duo, if you will, could make some real changes.
This is the first time Ralph has ever agreed with Bean. It's odd.
Not the first time.
But I mean, I see them together and I go, I see the poster, I see the campaign buttons, I see the TV ads. I don't see how anyone could not vote for this team, right?
I'm just saying.
As long as Ralph's on the vice president side of the ticket, though.
Just what is that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying, I think the mayor has to be top of the ticket. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. You'll make a very worthy number two, but I'm saying the mayor's
how
a,
dare you,
number
first
one.
Of all.
Call Ralph me makes a great two. Number two.
Aren't we funny? You guys are in big trouble when I'm VP.
That's
all of a
right.
sudden, the IRS is giving you an audit.
Oh, come on, man.
Just saying.
We're still
by the way,
buddies,
these,
right?
These days, the VP has about a 50-50 chance of being the president. So.
That's right. Well, it won't be my ticket, though, because, you know, no obstruction of justice or anything.
Sure.
Right.
Sunday is Father's Day, as I started to say. Interesting list from In Touch magazine of the top 10 Hollywood dads. Top 10 Hollywood dads.
So are these real people?
These are the real actors.
Okay.
In Hollywood, performers in Hollywood who they claim are the top 10 Hollywood dads. You want to take any guesses?
Tom
so
Hanks.
in their real life, they're good fathers.
What else would top 10 Hollywood dads
mean? I just
want
to make sure we weren't talking about what they're doing in movies and television. We're not talking about on screen. We're talking about in their real
life. These dads are the top 10 dads with their own real children
I have
in
a
real
guess.
Life.
I have a guess to move this along. I have
Thank
a guess.
Thank you, Kevin.
K-Fed.
No.
Oh.
Kevin Federline.
Why? Why? It's neither awful enough to be funny or good enough to be a guest.
I think it's awful enough to be funny.
No, apparently he's a pretty good dad. He's always around those kids.
I'm not sure that's good. All right.
Tom Hanks.
Allie said.
Hanks not on the list.
Hmm. What?
I think these are people with younger kids. And a lot of these are BS, by the way. That's the reason I love this list, because there's some ridiculous
things.
Right,
we're not
going
to be able to guess them if they're BS.
Okay.
Right? We only guess good ones.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon Not on the list, no.
All Kanye. Right.
Kanye not Come on the list. Come on.
You said it was a BS list. Kanye.
Number six is Will Smith, I'll tell you that much.
Wow.
Will
Smith.
We just found out that's not true.
See what I'm talking about?
So complete hands off is the deal.
Apparently. Just hand him a credit card and run away.
Holy crap.
I guess
crap.
Is the parenting skill set. Another BS. Number three, Tom Cruise.
What?
What kind of list is this?
From In Touch magazine.
Well, In Touch is stupid. Geez.
When's the last time he saw Suri?
Seriously.
That's a great question.
Wow.
Number 10 is Hugh Jackman.
Okay. I believe that.
Number 9, Tobey Maguire. Number 8, Kevin, you should have got this, David Beckham.
Hello, children.
He is around his kids a lot.
Let's all get together. We'll go get some ice cream, and then we'll go out to the park and play some footy. What do you say? Oh! Oh, no! Oh, I'm too injured. I can't be a father anymore.
Oh, did a butterfly fly by you, David?
Ben Affleck, 7th. Adam Sandler was 5th. Jack Black was 4th on the list.
That makes sense.
Number 2, Ryan Phillippe. He is always around his kids. I know that for a fact. And number 1, Gavin Rossdale was the number 1 Hollywood dad.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's dreamy. I'll give you that.
I don't think that was the list, though, was it?
It wasn't dreamy as Hollywood dads at all.
I mean, it's easy to spend a lot of time with your kids when your wife leaves you.
And when you're boning the nanny, right?
This went dark.
Right?
This was supposed to be a feel-good,
happy dad.
Father's Day, a little Father's Day content, and all of a sudden, Cookie and Bean have to get together and make everything sour.
That went south so fast!
All sadness now. All sadness. Let's just wrap things up with today's celebrity birthdays. John Cho is 45 years old today. Petros Papadakis!
The old P.
Our good pal. Good pal P. is 40 years old today. Missy Peregrim is 35, as is our friend Adam Ray, very funny man. And singer Banks celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, you guys ready for something great?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Trust me, this one sucks.
Roll another one.
Unbelievably bad.
Just like the other one.
That sounds cray-cray, doesn't it?
This one seems to be about to quit.
10-4, good buddy.
And I need another hit.
Yeah. I can't judge him, only God can do that, but he is a perfect case point example of what we don't want to be.
Roll another one.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
Just like the other one.
I love what he just said.
This one seems to be about to end.
I like ball play.
I don't have another cent.
Sometimes it comes off as condescending. I don't. What does condescending mean?
I like that.
Just pass it around.
I mean, what the hell, man?
This is a success.
That's all you got? Totally lame.
Sweet tap dancing baby Jesus. What in the f*** did we just watch?
I stand behind my decision. This press conference is over. I can't see you now. I can't hear you now. You're not here now. La, 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 la.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This business that we witnessed today, I don't like it.
No.
Something's wrong.
Yes.
Colonel.